Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you guys, starting the week off right. It's Monday. Hopefully things are going well for you and your work endeavors or whatever you got going on. So glad that you're spending some time with us, and I'm excited because, you know, we just keep kind of grinding through, learning as much as we can about these rookies. You got rookie minicamp going on right now. Wednesday, the schedule gets released. We're also spending a lot of time looking back with our nostalgia series. We're working on our 90-man roster countdown series. We're in the background putting together that list, 1 through 91, because we got the, you know, the additional player, the international player program. And so there's just a lot of things cooking. The 49ers Rush road trip, man, we're freaking setting stuff up, getting that ready so that the early bird people that are, you know, planning your stuff when the schedule comes out, you're going to be able to get some of those cheaper tickets if you want to come hang out with us on the road with the 49ers Rush road trip. Just a lot of moving parts, which is really good in me because it's kind of a slow period, but there's a lot of stuff going on. So what we're going to do today, we're going to do one of two things, foot in the past, foot in the future. We're going to talk through the rookies, and we got a really cool article, probably one of my favorite articles by Matt Barrows, which he's one of my favorites, friend of the show. He's been on the show before. Man, he crushed it. He did an interview with Tariq Ahmad, the new Adam Peters for the 49ers. I don't want to share too much from the article, but just a couple takeaways. Go read the article. Go subscribe to the article. Part of the reason why we do this is I want to support that because it's just incredible journalism and helped me understand some of these players a little bit more. So we're going to touch on some of those things. But then we're going to jump to the past and talk decade players. What that means, why it's so important to the 49ers. Bill Walsh started it. So take a glimpse back at some of those players. We got 50 in the 49ers history, players that have played 10 or more years with the 49ers. And who is the next on the list? Who's the most likely? What that all looks like, what that all means. Even got some poll questions I want to throw in there as well. But it's going to be a fun episode. As always, we're going to get to your questions. Appreciate you guys. And I do have to update the schedule. We do have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout this Thursday. which is the 16th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Come one, come all. And we got a free trial up there right now. So if you want to go sign up and come hang out and see what that's like, come on. Let's go. I haven't posted the details yet. As soon as the show's done, I'm going to post it. It's been a crazy morning. It's been a good morning. Sometimes this show, I'm just greedy. And whenever I'm greedy, I really like the content we put out. It's not usually the best, like, clickable, whatever, or get the most views or anything. But I just feel like, man, if I'm enjoying this, I hope you guys are enjoying this as well. And I know I've got a very tailored 49ers audience, and that's okay. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. But I try to tailor this to, man, if I love doing the research, I think that you guys will love enjoying consuming what we kind of put out there. That's the goal today anyway. We'll see if we achieve that goal. Y'all got to let me know. Want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs. 916 was first in the chat. What's up, Chris? Swaggy J. Steven, my man. What's up, Mike C? We got a lot of fun people here. What's up, Wood Gravy? Kim? This is awesome. Appreciate. Look at Swaggy J. Says, always an amazing day when you catch John on a live stream. That's what's up. And you got here on time early. Love it. What's up, Dave? Kenneth? Man, we got a lot of people. Devin, good friend. What's up, brother? Hey, Kevin. Says, what's up, JC? It's been a minute since I caught a live stream on time. Got two more adoptions at the end of the month, brother. Get to Green Bay. If y'all don't know Devin, great friend of the show. This dude is just, man, foster adoptive extraordinaire, amazing man. Served his country, him and his whole family, just amazing humans. We've hung out with him in Chicago a couple times. He was in Minnesota, and I'm trying to get to Green Bay. Now, I got to tell you, when that schedule comes out, Green Bay is at the top of my list. But the dates, if it doesn't go with the family, I can't do it. So, like, we'll see. Yes, I really, really want to go to Green Bay, and we already have venues and tailgates already figured out, which is really cool. We're getting it. We're alerted. But if it's, like, on Christmas or something, like, that's what kind of kicks my butt. But, Devin, I will never miss the opportunity to hang out with you or anybody, man. And I appreciate everybody reaching out saying, hey, come out to this place. Come out to this place. I'm trying. What's up, Miguel? How you doing, man? We got Vince in the house. What's up, Slick? This is awesome. All right, now let's talk rookies. Okay, that's kind of the what's going on right now. And let me just say this, you know, again, from my own experience, there's like spring football. You know, I was a high school football coach. There's like spring football, there's summer camp, there's 7-on-7s, there's all these different things. What do you take away from rookie mini camp? Not a lot. I've said repeatedly, the most important thing you take away right now is where the rookies are being slotted position-wise, not depth chart-wise. I don't care about that. Where they're slotted being played, where they're going to play. That's the most important takeaway from rookie training camp. That's number one. You learn the personality. They've got to learn the routine. But rookie training camp, it's like a walk in the park. Not to say that you can't take away whatever and so struggling. Nah, don't put too much stock into those things. Pay attention to where they are lining up. Okay, so what do we know? Renardo Green, he's playing slot. He's playing the nickel corner spot. That's huge. Dominique Puny, what's he playing? He's playing guard. Probably quickest path to play time, but they love him at center. We'll talk about that in a second. That might be the long-term play there. Ricky Pearsall, still no anything on that. Jacob Cowing, still know anything on that. If you guys have heard anything different, like, yeah, they're playing wide receiver. Yeah, they're doing return stuff. Great. That doesn't do us any good. Where are they playing? Why is nobody asking these questions? Are you playing X? Are you playing Z? Are you playing the slot? That's what we need to know. Until we get that information of those two players, who knows? Who knows? Don't know. Isaac Guerrero, you talk about him. Yeah, he's going to be a running back. Nothing really big there. Tatum Bethune, I'd like to know what spot they're putting him at. You know, Mike, Sam, Will. Mike and Sam are the same. Will's different. These are the questions we need answered. This is what we need. Kingston's going to be playing guard as well. Like, we need these answers. So I hope somebody can kind of come up with something on those, because until we get them, we can't really set the pathway for playing time, let alone how they're going to be used. Those are the things that I really, really want to know. I just wish somebody would ask that simple question. Are you playing X? Are you playing right guard? Are you playing nickel and outside, or just nickel right now? Are you playing both safety spots? Oh, they're interchangeable. No, they're not. No, they're not. Like, you got to press them on those things. You know, those are the important things. Now, Matt Barrows, awesome article, man. I absolutely loved it. Over on The Athletic, interviewed Tariq Ahmad. And again, I'm not sharing not even a tenth of this article. It's incredible. I just wanted to find one or two little bitty tidbits about a couple players that I thought maybe I didn't know or further, you know, emphasize the reason why they're 49ers players now. And let's start with Ricky Pearsall, the man, the first round pick, probably one of the biggest surprises of this draft. Doesn't mean it's a bad pick, just interesting. And you know, it was funny because the number one takeaway from this article, Kyle Shanahan's the general manager. Now, obviously the offense, but Kyle Shanahan's the general manager of the defense too. Like, there was no John really liked, you know, it was Kyle told us he likes this. And the way Kyle goes is the way the 49ers are going to go for a decade or more, hopefully. Kyle's not going anywhere. He has so much just kind of on what the 49ers are, personnel, scheme, even the defensive scheme. Kyle fired his guy, Steve Wilks. He wants his own scheme defensively. I want you to run it like this. And we saw that with Nick, too, with the press conference. I don't want to dive into that too much. But anyway, let's get back to Ricky Pearsall. You know, Tariq goes through and talks about how Kyle let us know he likes this, this, and this at the wide receiver position. This is what I want you scouts to find. This, this, and this. Talked kind of about the lower body explosiveness and all those different things. And so with Ricky Pearsall, you know, Tariq said they were anticipating him coming out last year. Last year. Now, that didn't happen, but they had a complete draft profile on Ricky Pearsall last year, and they were high on him. Now, probably wouldn't have been able to get him. They didn't have a first or second round pick or whatever else. But anyway, he goes back, but they were comfortable drafting him last year. Comes back, plays another year. Answered a lot of the questions. And so then they had two elite write-up years on him. That's why they didn't have him in for a meeting. You know, the 49ers are notorious for drafting players that they've had meetings with. This now brings the total of first-round picks to two that the 49ers haven't met with. Mike McGlinchey and now Ricky Pearsall. But when you talk about Mike McGlinchey, he was, you know, first cousins with Kyle Shanahan's former quarterback, Matt Ryan. They knew a lot about him, and now they know a lot about Pearsall because it was just clean. His tape has been clean. That's what it is. And so that's why they didn't meet with him. I thought that was interesting. I never thought about that, but to know they had a full draft write-up on him last year, and then he went back, you know, you're removing a lot of the risk factor, which that's all over this draft, right? They went after people that played a lot of football, a whole lot of football, and knew what they could do. Now, they talked in the article about the lower body flexibility and explosiveness. He's got that in spades. And if you've ever listened to George Kittle talk about yards after catch, yak, he always starts the conversation with one thing, and it's drop step, right? You catch the ball, that's paramount. But then you got to get a drop step and get upfield. Well, the one thing that keeps coming across to me on this Ricky Pearsall tape, oh, it's fun. And we've got this up on the 49ersrush.com. We will have every single rookie broken down by end of day. Tatum Bethune's the only one that I got left, but that's going to be done today. And then we're going to get to, you know, we're going to double back on some guys. But if you want to go see all 22 coaching tape on every single rookie in the 49ers class, that's up right now on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. As soon as you sign up, you get it. But check out this. This was Ricky Pearsall and his drop step on tape. Consistently great. Maybe one of his best traits. That's kind of hard to identify, but you'll see it here. Slot down here. Ooh, shut it down. Get him the ball. There you go. Nice drop step. Quarterback just got to get that ball out faster. Ah, he's reading left to right. And I love this because the hands are great, but whenever he goes over the middle, like, he secures the catch with his body. That's not a negative necessarily, but his drop step versus zone, Boom, catch. I mean, he gets in position to get upfield quick. Not a break tackle guy. That's not what he is. So might play that Debo role, but it's with a different little seasoning. You know what I mean? He does his work before the catch. Debo does his after the catch. But, man, his drop step is elite. And I know the 49ers, they consider that a big one. And so I love seeing just little things that the Niners pay so much attention to and work on at practice. You go to, you know, training camps and things like that. You see them work this, the wide receivers, the tight ends, the running backs, the fullbacks. You see it consistent out there. And so that's one of the parts of the game that the Niners put such a heavy emphasis on. He's already great at it and consistently great. That was one clip, right? But you see it time and time and time again. Really, really, really good. Right here, Swaggy J, what's up, man? He says, do you agree with Krug that Isaac should play fullback because he can block and catch with his size? No, I don't. Not that he couldn't, but whenever you did the restructure for Kyle Juszczyk, we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, you're guaranteed to have Kyle Juszczyk for 1 to 2 more years. That's done. It's in the books because he took his contract down so low, he's not going to be a salary cap casualty. That's not a thing. So for the next 2 years. So you did that before the draft. You traded up 2 fifth-round picks to draft Guerrero, not to be a fullback in 3 years. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean he couldn't play fullback, but no. I disagree with that. Now, could he play that? Sure. That doesn't make much sense to me. And I also think that Braden Willis would be the better fullback because he's already played that exact same role at Oklahoma for 2 years. And so if you're looking for that, Braden Willis would be the guy. But again, you're looking 2 years out. Now, if there's an injury, you know, let's say Kyle Juszczyk got hurt, God forbid. Yeah, you could flex Guerrero down there to see if he could get some more playing time or Braden Willis. But again, I don't think so. That's a misuse of, you don't trade 2 fifth-rounders for a fullback, in my opinion. I do think that the fullback will slightly scale down. You know, Kyle Juszczyk had about 60% of snaps, offensive snaps last year. I think it's going to tick down to about 50-52% with the way the personnel is shifting, with the way you spent 2 draft picks on wide receivers and kept all your wide receivers. You got to get those snaps out. Right here, you know, that's a waste of speed, says Josh. Yeah, I mean, the speed's pretty great. Guerrero. I practiced his name, guys. I appreciate all the pronunciation, guys. Guerrero. I've been practicing it. And if I say it with that tone, maybe I'll hit it more consistently. But let's go to Isaac Guerrero. You know, back to what Tariq Ahmad was saying, it really sounded like this was a R&D pick. This was a research analytics pick.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Because he's an outlier in this class. He hasn't played much. He's been 6 years, you know, 5 years with one program, 1 year with Louisville, but he hasn't played much. He's been injured nonstop. So, like, he doesn't fit. He does not fit with the theme of the other 8 draft picks. It doesn't. Injuries galore. Started one game. Nobody else has started fewer than 32 games in this draft class. This dude started one. Now, he's appeared in a lot of games. Injuries are off the charts, so like that's another thing that's not in common. But you know, it's funny because when asked about Guerrero, Ahmad said the 49ers spent a lot of times talking about the kickoff rules and how the type of speed and the type of prospect that they want to take advantage of these changes They want somebody that's going to hit their top end speed quick. Acceleration. That helps him out tremendously. Whenever Grendo gets to the point that his speed is up, he's elite. The problem is getting to that level as a running back, fullback, whatever you want to put him at, that's a little bit of a struggle because he does not get past the line of scrimmage often. He doesn't. He's a two-yard, 20-yard. That's what the game tape shows. Like arm tackle at the line of scrimmage, arm tackle at the line of scrimmage, gets his speed going, boom, breaks three tackles. And so that works with the kickoff return, right? So if you're telling me getting four kickoffs a game, maybe that's too many because you're guaranteed one at the half. You give up three scores. It's 13 points, four kickoffs a game. So you're telling me if Grendo gets four kickoff returns, there's two kickoff guys back there. But let's say he gets tackle first guy, boom, 40-yard return. Is that worth it? We'll see. But it was quite interesting just how much whenever Tariq was asked about Grendo, it was speed, analytics, metrics, boom, boom, boom. It wasn't tape. It's not tape because you can't go off the tape because there's not much good tape. Just not there. You watch one to two games, he explodes. Shanahan's notorious for going after running backs that have these elite single games. You remember Joe Williams had that huge game against UCLA, I think it was. You had TDP had a huge game against somebody where he had like 250 yards. Same thing with Trey Sermon had a huge bowl game. And Guerrero had, you look at the Virginia Tech, which is one of the worst teams in all of college football. Dude crushed him. And Tariq even mentioned the USC game where he went off. So smaller sample size. He's the outlier of this draft class. Isaac Guerrero. Grendo. See, I told you. I got to say the tone. Grendo. I'm probably still messing it up. I know. I'm sorry. I'm trying really, really hard. Now, and I will say this. And again, I got tape to try to emphasize what it is I'm talking about. Isaac's got decent vision. It's not great. But man, you give this dude, if you give him just a crease to let him get going, you block him for five, he'll get you 20. And I think this tape shows that. Now you've got a third down back to kind of get out there a little bit, which I like because when Christian McCaffrey's out, you're kind of stuck. But Grendo, he's not Christian McCaffrey-like, but he could run those routes. Another huge run right up the middle. Probably one of the best vision plays that you'll see from Grendo. Love the cutting back and forth. Ball security tight. Not late, though. But this is one of the most... Okay, how is he going to have success at the NFL level without having gigantic holes? Right here's vision. Running through contact. That's a very, very positive play. And there's a lot of positives to what he does. Josh asks, can he block? Yeah, he's a great blocker. And I think the thing that makes him more attracted to the 49ers and Isaac Guerrero is, man, he could be that third down guy much better than anybody else we have on this roster. Elijah Mitchell, not really great out of the backfield catching, but he can block decent somewhat. There were some terrible plays last year. JP Mason, like he had a couple bad plays, but also some good pass pro. But I do believe the best pass catching back and pass blocking back, not named Christian McCaffrey, is Isaac. And so that gives you the versatility because you got your backup thumpers, your closers, if you need them. I wish Kyle would use them more, but now you've got a little bit more of a third down screen, pass blocking, whatever guy. So I think that's, what's there. And, Dempster, this is the concern. Another running back that barely gets used. Yeah, the track record's bad. So, like, you want to, if you're an anti-Kyle fan, which they exist somehow, I don't know how, but if you are, this is where your beef is. Because it's like, how many running backs? Like, we spend the most on the running back. We have the highest paid running back. And we just keep throwing resources at this position. And we get guys that flash and show they're incredible, like JP Mason, and we don't even use them. Wish that would change. But do I think Isaac Garrido is going to get a lot of carries? I do not. I don't. And this is not, I'm with you, Josh. He says, you know, after Juice is gone, I see the fullback dissipating from this offense personally. I think I would not be shocked. I really, really wouldn't. Now, you're always going to use that H-back move, whatever, but you remember when Juice got hurt, they put Roz Dwelly back there, and it worked all right. It was okay. It's not Kyle Juszczyk, but I can see that too. So that's Isaac. Let's go to, and we're going kind of out of order here, flowing with you guys' chat a little bit, which I like. I like this. I like it when y'all determine the way the show goes. Tariq, whenever he was asked about Renardo Green, and this is what's crazy. This is a defensive player, right? This is a defensive player. This is the only quote that I think I pulled from the actual. No, I got one more. But here's the quote. This is from Matt Barrow's Athletic article. God, it's incredible. Go read it, man. Go read it. This is what Tariq said on Renardo Green. Quote, when we were in draft meetings and watching him, I remember Kyle really enjoyed his tape because of those reasons. The physicality, the willingness to aggressively work to the football. That was a really strong part of his game, end quote. This is Kyle telling him why he likes a nickel corner. That sticks in. Tariq Ahmad, who's basically the number two GM currently, Kyle's the one that picks all these guys. Kyle picked the DC. Like, I don't know. Kyle picked the DC, right? So here's the question. This clip's been played a lot, but it's funny to me. This is Nick Sorensen on why he thinks he got hired.
I think you'd have to ask Kyle and John and ownership. I think it's, I mean, I was here. I understand the defense, familiarity with it, with the guys and how we play, what's expected. I think we all know what we expect out of the defense and our team. So probably have to ask Kyle about that.
Starts it in. Probably got to ask Kyle. This is the dude that coached nickel corners for the past 3 years, and it's the new DC. And when Tariq Ahmad says, what'd you like about Renardo Green? Well, Kyle really liked. Like, not the guy that's coached the position. It might be taken as a criticism. I don't think that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bolster the opinion that Kyle Shanahan is the first, second, third, fourth, fifth most powerful person in this team's organization. We know he has full reign with the offense. He's going to do whatever the hell he wants to do. I get that. Everybody knows that. But I'm telling you, this dude is the GM. Listen to the first line again.
I think you'd have to ask Kyle and John.
Like, I mean, come on, man. Not that, I don't know. That kind of sucks. It kind of sucks for Nick, but he's got the job. Is he deserving of the job? We'll find out. Was John Lynch deserving of the job? I don't think so, but found out, worked out well. But it's just like, ask Kyle. Why are you here? I ask Kyle. That's what I do too. Like, people are like, why are you guys here? Ask my wife. I don't know. Ask her. I don't know. My son. Right? Hey, Dad, what are we? Ask Jen. Kyle Shanahan is the Jennifer Chapman of, like, that's just the way it goes. Ask Mom, dude. I don't know. I'm going to do whatever I get told so I don't get in trouble and I don't have to argue. I don't want to argue. I just want to relax, do my podcast, drink a beer every now and then, everything else, just whatever. Just ask Kyle. And so anyway, you go back to this nickel corner draft pick, and basically the assistant GM says, well, our offensive head coach really liked these things about him. And now, to be fair, it shows up on tape, and it's very easy to like all of the kind of big plays that he makes, because it's just so consistent. It really, really is. So you talk about the physicality. He's at his best in the end zone. Yeah, I think I played a clip where it was him against Malik Nabers three plays in a row, first, second, third down, and shut it down. They had to kick a field goal. But here's another play later in the game where he shows his zone pass-off ability plus physicality. Watch him pass Impressive. This route off. One crosses your face. You got to look for two underneath. You pass them. Get out there, make the play. Nice. Not much yards after contact. Got caught in man. Not bad, not great. I mean, let's be honest, that tight end's not your concern. Malik Nabers is. 5-yard play. It's just smart football. Like, every defense has a vulnerability, and if a team takes advantage of that, you got to give up the least amount of threat possible, right? I don't know if I'm wordsmith over here, but, like, Malik Nabers is the number one concern, not their number two tight end on an out route. You come off and you make the play. And I really do think, I love the fact, and I'm so pumped. And Josh says, you know, Green will be a stud sooner rather than later. I agree. There's a chance this dude starts nickel week one, because the competition, like the fact that he's playing nickel now, it's not against Demo. Okay. That's not the competition. The competition is Renardo Green better at slot corner than Isaac Yiadom and Daryl Luter Jr. at outside corner. That is the question, because Demo's not coming off the field no matter what. Travarius Ward's not coming off the field no matter what. And so the question now becomes, is it better to have Ward, Demo, and Renardo Green? Or is it better to have Ward, Isaac Yiadom, or Daryl Luter Jr., your rookie from last year, and then kick Demo inside? That is the question. And I... personally, I mean, I not well thought out, but I think weeks 1, 2, and 3, probably going to have Demo inside. But I think after that first month of the season, Renardo Green's going to be your nickel starting corner. But we've seen this defense, through several coordinators, go out there with more experience and then shift to the more aggressive player. After, that's how Demo got his start, remember? He wasn't even started 2 years ago. Week one, we thought he was on the bubble roster. Like, he might not even be on this team after a week or two. What happened? Goes out there, still stole a job, took a job, kept a job. Now he's going to get paid, contract year. Demo's not coming off the field no matter what. It's Renardo Green against Yiadom and against Daryl Luter Jr. Maybe somebody else can come and try to poach, whatever. But I love the fact that we know he's playing nickel first. I'm excited about that. Jeremy says, Jerrion Jones was a better nickel corner than Green. So weird to take Green as such a good outside corner. He's good. I like Jerrion Jones too. I think the upside is better. And with the way the 49ers play, the 49ers' versatility is everything. So now, if you're just looking at who's the better nickel, I have no problem with your take, Jeremy. I have no problem with that. But whenever you look at the contract status of these corners, look at the expiring deals. Travarius Ward, last year of his deal. Demo, last year of his deal. Ambry Thomas, last year of his deal. Rocky Sin, last year of his deal. All outside guys. And so just because Renardo Green is the nickel now, I think they want Renardo Green to be the Demo next year and beyond, to where you get that versatility. And I think that's why they were so big on him. But I did like Jerrion Jones too. I'm not here to disagree with you, but I think the versatility, and again, you look at this draft class with Puni, Pearsall, Cowing, you go all down, Malik, Mustafa, all these guys can play so many different positions. The only one that I don't think can is Isaac Garrido. He's the only one that I don't think he can. I think he'd do the returner, and I think he'd do running back. That's about all I see out of that. But maybe I'm wrong. Wrong all the time. That's okay. That's okay. Right here, Rick, what's up, man? Good afternoon. You as well. How are you, friend? I'm doing great, man. Just connected to your show, so I'm seeing what you're showing, right? Yeah, yeah, there we go. We're caught up live. I think we might be a couple minutes behind the chat. But today was awesome because, you know, I was talking to my wife earlier today. I was like, man, today was awesome. I woke up early and just started doing research. Sometimes I start right away on the episode. Sometimes I start right on film. Sometimes I go into business stuff and emails. Like, it's just weird. I probably need a better schedule. But with yesterday being Mother's Day, hopefully everybody had a great Mother's Day. I woke up, like, wanted to research things. And so this is a later episode than when I usually go, right? But I was just like, man. And I got to go back because It all goes back to, man, it was a while ago. Mel Phillips, yeah, a couple episodes ago on the 8th. When we were doing the best number 32 in the history of the 49ers organization, Ricky Waters was the number one, but Mel Phillips got like 1% of the vote, and I was offended, and I went on a whole rant and whatever else. Like, Mel Phillips should have been definitely in consideration. If you had him ahead of Ricky Waters, I'd have no issues with that, but whatever. But my buddy, got to say, you know, just this is what's up is, We started this conversation of, you know, all-decade players. Shout out to Tom C. He emailed me, and he's like, dude, why don't you do a little bit more on bringing light to this decade 49ers list? And so I woke up this morning and just started pouring through Pro Football Reference and Facebook, Wikipedia, and all this different stuff. Just who are these guys? And I just established a database. These are the guys that have played 10 or more years for the 49ers. And I spent hours, about 2.5 hours straight, just pouring through these names. And I was smiling. I was jamming. It was awesome. So, Rick, you asked me how my day is. I'm thankful, man. The fact I get to wake up in the morning and spend 2.5 hours just combing through 49ers history and learning about all these guys I don't know. I don't know them. You know, I know 90s past. I became a fan in 1989. I was a tiny little kid. I was 8 years old, you know? And so I didn't start to like actually like dive into it hardcore until about 92. And then 94 happened. And that was just after that. It's like, oh, done. I'm going to be a podcaster now. A 12-year-old. I'm going to be a podcaster. And so like, it's been fun. So anyway, I found 50 players. 50 players that are part of the decade member that Bill Walsh started back in the day. And here's the Bill Walsh kind of, you know, this is what he said about why it was important. Quote, 49ers 10-year club dedicated to those 49ers who have served 10 or more years proudly wearing the scarlet and gold. And in the 49ers locker room still today, all the players that are part of this, they got a black and white photo and they got their little plaque on there. And gold, showing how long they played. And you hear players mention it. Eric Armstead talked about it consistently. Joe Staley talked about it consistently. Jimmy Ward talked about it consistently. Now, the sad thing is, Jimmy Ward missed by 1 year. Eric Armstead missed by 1 year. Dante Johnson, he's 2 years back. He's got 8 years served. But it's like, oh, man. You look at the last two people that have made this list, it's getting harder and harder. There's 50 people on this list. It's getting harder and harder and harder because the last two, Joe Staley was the most recent one. Frank Gore was before him. That's rough. Vernon Davis, you know, I mean, the salary cap is going to make this harder. It's going to make it harder to stick with one team for that long. Now, there are some players that are close. There's only two players that are with the 49ers. Since Shanahan's first year, 2017. That's it. One was free agent, Kyle Juszczyk, who we just talked about. And the other is George Kittle. Perhaps the best draft pick not named Brock Purdy all time for the 49ers. There's a debate. Or for Kyle Shanahan era, sorry. I know somebody just got like red hot blooded. What? How dare you say that? not trying to upset anybody. But so you got these two players that are going into year 8. Now, can Kittle play 8? 9, 10, 3 years, 3 more years. God, I hope so. Man, I hope so. If there's anybody that like just completely embodies what it means to be a 49er, George Kittle is the paramount of what that is. The toughness, the class, the entertainment, George Kittle was the litmus test for the longest time of just what 49ers means. Like if people understand now, the Super Bowl performance, that went great, you know, all that stuff, whatever else. But, freaking love that man. Now, Kyle Juszczyk's a little bit different because he got brought in, right? He wasn't drafted by us. He was with Baltimore. But he's going into year 8 with the Niners as well. But with his salary cap cut that he took, year 8 and 9, almost guaranteed. I mean, he's not making anything next year. So this year, next year, like Kyle Juszczyk's hit year 9. Will he hit year 10? He's got to sign a new deal or an extension. So I don't know. We'll see there. Now, there's only one player that is with the 49ers since the 2018 season. Obviously, Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk carry over. That's Fred Warner. He's the only one from that whole draft class, from that whole team. So from 2018, we have three players. That's it. Fred Warner, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk. The rest are gone. They gone. And so, you know, Warner's going into year 7. Now, what's interesting to me, and I didn't even think to look this up. I got in great Twitter conversations this morning as we were doing these research, as I was doing this research. And, you know, Flynn, shout out to Flynn West. He asked me, you know, is there anybody signed through 10 years? Just signed. No, there's not. Kittle, Juszczyk, and Fred Warner, all their contracts expire after their 9th year with the team. That hurts. It's just like, ah, like, come on, man. Let us have one. Give us one, Kyle. Give us a 10-year player. Like, you just, Armstead, that whole thing happened. Jimmy Ward, that had to happen. I don't think the Jimmy Ward one was up to Ward or the 49ers. Like, that dude got paid bucks to go play the position he wanted to. He earned that right. That was the best of best. The Armstead thing, we'll see. Definitely, whatever. We'll see. But, you know, if I had to guess who's going to get the next 10-year, it would be Fred Warner. You know, George Kittle's the injuries. Hopefully he can get that. And I freaking love George Kittle. I really, really do. I don't know. Maybe. Kyle Juszczyk, I doubt it. I just don't see it with the way the contract to make him take the pay cut already. But Fred Warner, man, he's been healthy. That dude's elite. Going into year 7, he could break all kinds of records because you look at the linebackers with the 49ers and they have the richest of the rich history. Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, you know, you want to throw in the plumber and Ken Norton, whatever. It doesn't matter. Fred Warner, if that dude plays 3 more years and gets to year 10, he will be the greatest linebacker in the history of the 49ers organization. Done. Period. I'm telling you, and somebody, y'all go argue with a brick wall. And it's not because I don't love Bowman. You know, I love Bowman. It's not because I don't love Willis. You know, I love Willis. I paid these guys thousands of dollars to come party with you guys and myself. I love them. I love them. I have all their jerseys. I have them all. Fred Warner, I think when it's all said and done, will be the greatest linebacker in 49ers history. It used to be like, oh, you can't have that conversation. It's stupid. And now we're into the territory of like, oh, all right, conversation needs to be had. But again, my stipulation is if he plays 3 more years with the 49ers and gets to year 10, I'm telling you right now, he's the best. He's the best. Now we get a Super Bowl on top of that. Then we'll see. What's up, President? How we doing? Did you change your tag there, President? Calling me Jim Rope from another account. I don't know if other people are picking up on that too. Anyway, we'll kind of see what that looks like. Let's get through some more of these comments. I kind of went off on a little rant there. sorry about that. Yeah, Josh right here. We got rid of the last two when they were at 9 years. Yeah, it's Jimmy Ward and Eric Armstead. And then you had Dante Johnson, the barnacle. He's at 8. But yeah, Josh says Fred will be the next one. With the cap having a 10-year career with the same team just doesn't happen often. It doesn't. But that's what makes it so much more valuable. It's way more valuable now. And I didn't talk about this, but going forward, you know, that's if you go to the 2019 season, these are players going into year 6. There's a bunch. Nick Bosa going into year 6. Debo going into year 6. Greenlaw going into year 6. Kevin Givens. That's a trivia question. He's going into year 6. Mitch Wisnowski, maybe he's got the best chance out of all these guys. Like, that's all the guys coming from 2019 that are still here. So you can kind of see you got 2 going into year 8. You've got 1 going into year 7. And then you've got 5 going into year 6. Bosa, that dude, I mean, he's signed for a while. I think he's signed through year 8. I want to make sure I get this right. He might be signed through year 9 as well. I apologize about this. The on-air research. Not usually. I try my hardest, and I kind of get mad at myself whenever I have to do this. He signed through 2029. So this would be Bosa's 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. Oh! Oh! Yeah. Yeah. So that he signed through that. Then it gets into the void year. So he signed through 10th. Oh, I was wrong. I was wrong. Yeah, I love being wrong. So to the question, yes, one player signed through the 10th year, and that is Nick Bosa because, okay, 2024 is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then 2019 is where the void year starts. So currently, Bosa is signed through that. Oh, I hope he hits it. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I was wrong on all my stuff. That's okay. That's okay. And you know, Jeremy, he says, you know, Dre, I doubt given the injuries he's had. Talk about Dre Greenlaw. Man, I did not think, and then again, the injuries are a major concern for sure. He's had a lot. But I think that the injury makes it easier for the Niners to keep him after this year. With the way he was playing, he priced himself out of a 49ers third extension. He's on his, you know, second extension now, or I guess first extension, second contract. Terminology there is a little mixed up. Sorry. But I didn't think Dre Greenlaw had a chance of staying with us because I was like, this dude's going to get paid top five linebacker money somewhere. Now that Achilles, that sets it back. And everybody's like, oh, you trade him. I was like, you don't trade players that are injured, man. Like, that's not a thing. And if you cut him, you don't, like, I was just like, God, this is makes no sense. People are so weird. If you don't understand contracts, which I'm trying to learn and constantly, whatever, 49erscap.com, shout out to Jason. He does a great job. But, like, contracts tell you what can and cannot happen a lot of times. So, like, the people are like, oh, trade Debo. I'm like, contract, I disagree. Everything's negotiable. Doesn't mean it's down to zero. But the contract says not likely. Now, with Dre Greenlaw, I don't think that he's going to be a 10-year player. Hope he is. He's my favorite 49er right now. I've said that millions of times. Number one, he's my favorite 49er, period. But the Achilles, I think, makes it easier to do an extension with him. I really, really do. We'll see what happens. You got to see how he rebounds. But, yeah, I think more likely now. Still don't think it will happen, but I wish it would. Cody and Tito, what's up, man? He says Warner will be the one to stay. I think so, too. Georgia come back. They have no tight end, too. Yeah. Let's say they move on from George Kittle. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're signing some free agent to come in. Yeah, we'll see here. Right here. Oh, Josh. Julian Peterson, Derek Smith, Jeff Albright were a solid trio. Yeah, they were. And, you know, Jeff Albright, I want to transition now. Josh, who's just the freaking best. I really appreciate all you do for us, Josh. He helps with a lot of the research, the trivia. Helping with the 90 man, helps with draft. He's just the absolute best, man. 49er faithful forever is what comes across in the chat, but that's Josh. He's the man. And you brought up Jeff Albright. And they were a solid trio. They were incredible. You know, I asked this question on Twitter, and I kind of posed it just a little bit on here. Here's the question, okay? What is more valuable to an NFL franchise today? A 10-year starter who never gets a Pro Bowl or even an All-Pro vote, just a 10-year starter, or a 3-year starter, but he gets one Pro Bowl season and barely misses out on All-Pro that year. So no All-Pros, but one Pro Bowl. So a 3-year starter with one Pro Bowl. Which one's better? 10-year starter, no Pro Bowls. 3-year starter, one Pro Bowl. And I was curious, just because, you know, I went back to the whole Ricky Waters, you know, that whole debate with what was going on there. And I just kept getting mad because I was like, guys, y'all are freaking missing out. Mel Phillips is for real. And I do think that Ricky Waters is the correct answer. But the fact that Mel Phillips got 1% of the vote, I was offended. I was offended. So I asked this on Twitter, had about 1,000 votes. 64% said 10-year starter. 35.9% said 3-year starter. And the reason why I agree with that, I would take the 10-year starter, which is almost impossible nowadays with salary cap and all that stuff. I didn't have players in mind whenever I started that. I really, really didn't. But I want to go back to your comment. I went back through all those 50, 10-plus year players for the 49ers, and I tried to find players that fit into one of these two categories. I struggled. It was hard. It was a lot harder than I thought it would be. But one of the players you mentioned is on that list, Jeff Albright. He was exactly a 10-year starter for the 49ers. No Pro Bowls, no All Pros. Boom. Nailed it. So now let's build. I'm gonna go through. These are all the players that qualified as a 10-year starter only. I didn't do 11 or 12 or 13 because I thought that'd skew it. And I was like, I wonder how many of the 50 fall into this category. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six players in the 49ers history have played 10 years exactly with no Pro Bowls. That's it. Okay, here are the players. Derek Deese, offensive lineman. Come on, baby. You got one Super Bowl. Pete Kugler. He had three Super Bowls. That dude. Mike Wilson, the wide receiver. He had four Super Bowls. He was one of the rotational guys. Jeff Albright, who we talked about. Roland Lakes, one of the best names in 49ers history. Roland Lakes, that's just clean. That's clean. Defensive tackle for 10 years through the 60s. And then John Ayers, the guard, 70s and 80s. He had two Super Bowls. That's it. Those are the six 10-year players. And so we've got a little bit of a spectrum there across multiple decades to try to provide some texture. But here's what's crazy. And I know there's more. I could only find one recent player that fell into the category of a 3-year starter with one Pro Bowl, no All Pros. I could ask everybody to say the player. I don't think anybody would get it. Anton Bethea, 2014 to 2016, had one Pro Bowl, got some All-Pro votes, but didn't make the All-Pro team. That's it. The next closest thing would be Charvarius Ward, but he's still got one more year. He's only played 2 years with us. He's about to go on his third year. So you could say, all right, Charvarius Ward, but the All-Pro thing kind of throws that off too. But like, Charvarius Ward, Anton Bethea, that type of player versus those other ones. I think that's just, I don't know. I don't know if that goes into your philosophy when you're drafting. But those 10-year players, man, they had a lot of Super Bowl victories between them. 1, 4, 8, 10 Super Bowls between those players I mentioned. Anton Bethea didn't get one. Charvarius Ward hasn't got one yet with us. I don't know. I don't know. And I see that I'm behind in the chat. I'm going to go to the bottom of the chat and work my way up. I don't know. Right here. Josh Bethea was bad with us. Yeah. Bad as in good, right? I mean, he had a bad year. I understand that. But, and with Chris Borland. I love the Chris Borland talk. You know, he played 1 year. That dude ran a 4.85. A 4.85 40. Not trying to discount him at all, but that dude wasn't going to play long in the NFL. Not in today's NFL. It wasn't going to happen. I think he would have been like a 2 to 3 year all pro and then just like fizzled out quick because he was already slower than everybody else and very scheme specific. Sorry. But I love Borland. And gosh, that dude, it was so fun watching him play. Oh, it was so fun. But could he have played, you know, 10 years? I don't know. Derek Deese was nice. What's up, 49ers Minded? Appreciate you, man. Go check out 49ers Minded on YouTube if you haven't yet. This is fun, man. I do like this. Dude, people are saying Fred Warner's overrated? Are you kidding me? Dude, the best coverage linebacker literally redefined the position. Yeah, I would argue you probably don't watch film very often, and that's okay if you do. Otherwise, I have no clue where you get that take. Fred Warner is the best. He's changed the linebacker position forever. He's changed it. It's never going to be the same. You can't have Chris Borland's anymore because of Fred Warner exists. Does that make sense? Like, you can't go back. There's no going back now. You can't put the toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube. Can't do it. You have to have guys that can cover now. Period. That's all there is to it. It changes. Oh, David right here. Hopefully Brock, who plays 10 years. I hope the 49ers give Brock a 10-year contract. Do I think that Brock Purdy is, you know, a top three quarterback in the NFL and all that stuff and, you know, whatever? I don't think so. I don't think he is. I think Brock Purdy's great. I really do. I want that 10-year contract. I want very similar to what they did with Patrick Mahomes. He's not Patrick Mahomes. I understand that. But I want the cap flexibility with a long freaking term deal. That's what I want. We'll spend next offseason argue about all those things. But, you know, it's what it is. Right here, Josh says, you know, Drake Greenlaw's injuries hurt his legacy with the Niners. He was a fifth-round pick. He's been second fiddle to Fred, which, again, Fred Warner's the best that exists. But, man, I don't know. I think his legacy, I mean, dude, he got nominated by his teammates for the Dwight Clark Award. His legacy and tone. You ask Kyle Shanahan, like, Kyle Shanahan loves Dre Greenlaw more than I do, and I love Dre Greenlaw. But, yeah, let's see there. Right here, Swaggy J, let's have the conversation. If we want a Super Bowl, would Warner and Greenlaw be the best 49ers duo? Yes, 100%. Yes. Yes, they would. At peak of their play, yes. And it's not recency bias. It's not that. I don't think that it is. I think if you put every single... Now, here's where it gets different, okay? And again, here's the my personal opinion. People get mad at me all the time. I don't care. Get mad at me. Here's my opinion. I'm going to go through all four players because they're very different. They're very different trajectories. Patrick Willis stepped on the field his rookie year and was the best linebacker in the NFL day one. He was for, again, I want to make sure I get the years right, okay? So, again, we're off script. Uh-oh, we're off script. So, 2007, Patrick Willis steps in. He's the best linebacker in the game, period. He is the same best linebacker from 2017 to 2012. 6 years, he's the best of the best of the best, and it's not close. At the end of 2013, injuries started. His wheels weren't working. He said he's out. And again, Patrick Willis got screwed in 2018 because he missed first-team All-Pro by one vote. By one vote. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. So Willis, best. I mean, he just came at the top, stayed at the top until it was over. Six amazing years. Maybe the best six consecutive years of the linebacker in the history of the NFL. Okay? Navarro Bowman. Let's go to Bowman. Very different trajectory. I always spell his name wrong. I love Navarro Bowman. Okay? Navarro Bowman was a little bit more of, I forget the shape that it's called, where it starts kind of low, peaks high, then goes back low. That's what he went through, the whole, like, whatever. Man, I know what that's called. Dang it. But Navarro Bowman had 2012, 2013, those 2 years, and 2015. I argue this. Now, the majority of the career, you had six elite years from Willis. I think you had 3 to 4 elite years from Bowman. And there was a small peak. And people get mad at me whenever I say this, like it's blasphemy. I disagree. There was a small peak where Navarro Bowman at his best, it's a small window, but I think we had a solid year where it was better than Patrick Willis at the height of his career. But Patrick Willis was at 9.9 for the moment he stepped on. But there was a little peak where Navarro Bowman was at a 10.0. I believe that. I do. And I could be wrong. And I'm sorry if I'm pissing somebody off. This is not Patrick Willis slander. Like, if you know how much money I paid him to get him to come out to our parties, you would understand. I love these men. I love what they've done for this franchise in our history. Like, this is not negative against any of them. I'm telling you, they've had different career trajectories and paths. Now you get to Fred Warner. Fred Warner changed position. He didn't even play this position. That's what makes him so different, is because now this dude is the best coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL. The history. Not the 49ers linebacker history. No. Fred Warner is the greatest coverage linebacker, period. Ever. changed it. There is a BC before, what are we going to call it? Like BW before Warner. There's the linebacker position BW before Warner and AW after Warner. It's not the same. You see what I'm saying? It's totally different. And so with Willis and Bowman, you can compare them because they play in the same system, 3-4, same coach, Fangio. They did the same thing. And you can compare Warner and Greenlaw. Now, the biggest flaw with this argument is Greenlaw does not compare favorably to any of the other three. But Greenlaw did his role very, very well. And Greenlaw's very beyond above average cover guy. But man, he's just a mean man. And the injuries, I don't think that Greenlaw belongs in those conversations with those other three. I love him. He's my favorite player. I don't think he has the skill set there to get there yet, and the injuries have just stopped him from getting there. But, if they would have got that Super Bowl, I don't know. I think it would have kind of tilted a little bit. I don't know. Let me see. Let's look at you guys. See how many people I pissed off. Let me take a drink of coffee. Let's see here. Actually, you know what? I got to blow my nose real quick. I'm going to keep going on this. But before, because the show's not over, we're still going. But if you want to support the show, here's the best way to do it. I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So. All right, let's deal with the backlash from my stupid comments. And just know, I'm not here to, like, be mad, and hopefully I didn't anger anybody. But, like, I would say this to them. And obviously, all four of them would probably be pissed off at what I'm saying because everybody thinks they're the greatest. And rightfully so. If you're one of these four, they should. Josh, he says, nobody, all caps, passes Patrick Willis. Yeah, I mean, he's the all pros is beyond incredible. The way that he stepped up, that's the thing. The way that he stepped up was just incredible. But shoot, you look at Fred Warner, he's got three all pros already. He's getting at least one more. Now, okay, let's do this. Let's go to Pro Football Reference. I'm going to their franchise encyclopedia, and I'm doing their approximate value. This is computer analytical based on starts and blah, 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 and all those things, right? Okay, Patrick Willis has a 108. I mean, he's number 9 in the history of the 49ers, right? Okay, let's go down. I'm scrolling. Fred Warner has a 77. That's 24th. So he is 30. No, not 30. Come on. 24 points on this approximated value. And again, let's see here. See our about section. We can go into more details, but it does games played, you know, stats, awards, postseason, all that, whatever else, right? So Fred Warner has a 77. Navarro Bowman's got a 73. Fred Warner's already passed Navarro Bowman, according to this. Again, this is not me. This is Pro Football Reference's AV scale, which is it's pretty freaking awesome. So you already have Fred Warner passing Navarro Bowman, and you have him kind of closing in on Patrick Willis. Now, I wonder where is my man? Dre Greenlaw is going to be so much lower because he hasn't gotten any of the awards. He's going to probably be really, really low. And that's kind of the flaw. It's like, should Dre Greenlaw have been a Pro Bowl linebacker the past 2 years? You bet your ass. Yeah, Dre Greenlaw, number 129. He's got a 30. So that, like, you add, it's not even a fair thing. So Dre Greenlaw got a 30, right? So if we add them both together, but that's not even the argument. I mean, you add them both together, they're barely past Patrick Willis. They're barely there. So I don't know. I don't know what. Patrick Willis is so freaking good. He's so good. He's so good. I'm not talking about a murderer on today's show. We're talking about greats. No. Get that piece of crap out of here in my comments. We are not talking about him right here. Patrick Willis was a great linebacker. He did it all. If Warner laid big hits, I'd like, what the hell are you watching, bro? What? Sorry, I put that on there. I should not have put that up there. I should not have allowed that to be on there. That's okay. I apologize to the entire faithful community. That is not a responsible. Oh my gosh. That is crazy. Go watch the Steelers. Najee Harris got laid out by Fred Warner. Like, set the freaking tone. Oh, yeah. Willis had a lot of those hits where he killed him, but the rules were different. I mean, he literally killed the Jets wide receiver that was a quarterback, Brad Johnson. No, Brad. I remember his name, but he was like a Mizzou quarterback that was transitioned to wide. Anyway, those are scary. And like, you can't do that anymore. So like, yeah, that's like saying, oh, so-and-so hits harder, you know, from the 70s than somebody does now. Well, the rules are different. You don't get to take their heads off. I'll tell you this right now. I would rather, the hardest hitting out of all these four is Dre Greenlaw. Dre Greenlaw is the meanest mamma jamma that's ever lived. He's Mike Tyson with football pads. That's Kyle Shanahan quote. That's the meanest one. If you put Dre Greenlaw is getting all these penalties now, you put Dre Greenlaw back in the 90s and 2000s, good Lord. Like, Yeah, I agree with you. Patrick Willis hits harder than Bowman, and Dre Greenlaw hits harder than Warner. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, but I'll tell you right now, Dre Greenlaw will kill people. Dre Greenlaw will kill people. 49ers minded. True, Bowman had that small window where he was superb. It was one of the best linebacker things I've ever seen in my life. Navarro Bowman peak linebacker play was incredible, man. It was just, oh, it was awesome. Now, not to say the other ones weren't. That's all I'm saying. J.M., Willis would draw so many flags today. Yeah, but Willis didn't have to tackle that way. You know, Willis could do, that's the thing that made him so awesome. It's like, he just did it all. He did it all. Yeah, Debster, Fred does put fear into offenses. You're just clueless. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm with you. Brad Smith, that was his name. Willis hit on Brad Smith with something else. I hate that. If people put that on my timeline on Twitter and I scroll past it, I hate it, man. I don't like I boxed. I did MMA and like high school and college and stuff. Like, I like violence more than I should. I still hate it whenever I see people like go limp. You just see their body just like, it grosses me out. I can't stand it. It's just not my thing. And so I see that hit, which was incredible, but I can't finish it. I scroll quick as soon as I see it. Not my jam. It's not me. Let's see here. Greenlaw knew his role. Yep, Fred is the main component, though. That's correct. And that's another big difference. The 3-4, you had two main components in Willis and Bowman at the same time. Like, that's a different system. It's a different scheme. It was almost mirrored concepts. 4-3 is different. Because, and this is another bird and feather, feather in Fred Warner's cap, is he plays the mic role, which is very similar to the role that Willis and Bowman played, but he also takes the hardest thing that the Will linebacker has to do, Dre Greenlaw, and running with number 3 vertically down the field. That's what separates him. I've never taken this statement back. The best coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL is Fred Warner. I stand on that. Somebody want to go to bat and, you know, throw me some clips and whatever else. And yeah, I obviously haven't watched all the linebackers and coverage like I have the Niners, but man, oh yeah. Like, he's so freaking good, man. He's just so good. Let's see here. Just try to stick to this topic because it's fun. Hugh, he says, Willis and Bowman were the best. Bowman was on a Hall of Fame trajectory before he got hurt. Yep. They were bigger and faster than Warner. Yeah, you see the pictures. They're different. Like, they are jacked physically. Like, they're not the same. They are not the same. However, you look at Fred Warner, like, okay, here we go. Fred Warner, 6'3", 230, right? Okay. You look at Patrick Willis. Again, Fred Warner, 6'3", 230. Patrick Willis, 6'1", 242. they're not the same type of human beings. Navarro Bowman, 6'1", 230, right? And then you get to Dre Greenlaw, 6 foot, 230. Dre Greenlaw is them. They're the same. Fred Warner, hybrid, different, tall, long, not short, stocky. Different. I remember when I first met Fred, whenever we threw our party for the draft in Vegas. Like, you know he's big, and I've met so many different football players. I've coached, whatever. Like, I've met lots of NFL players. You meet Fred Warner, it's like, you're a lot bigger than I thought you were, man. Like, he is huge. He's huge. We met Elijah Mitchell and Fred Warner the same day, and it was like, okay, there's a big difference between these two humans. But I've met Bowman. I haven't met Dre Greenlaw in person. I've met Patrick Willis. I've met Navarro Bowman. I've talked to all of these people repeatedly. Not repeatedly, but I'm saying, like, I've had physical interactions, conversations, whatever else. Fred's different. They're not built the same. That's not a knock on anybody. The game has changed. Not the same build. Dre Greenlaw, same build. He's the same. And so I guess there is a little bit of that, but I'm telling you, linebacker's never going to be the same. It is never going to be the same. It can't. Right here, Swaggy J. I think Greenlaw had the best Super Bowl performance than all three of the linebackers. Do you agree, Super Bowl only? Yeah. You know, I go back to the 2019 one, and, you know, every Super Bowl has, you know, you play the what-if game. Dre Greenlaw was unbelievable in 2019. Quan Alexander had the worst game of his entire career. He rushed back from injury, wasn't ready, had a terrible NFC championship, had an even worse Super Bowl. Quan Alexander, like, and I'm not trying, I love Quan. I think he's great, but, like, that was the worst game I've ever seen from a 49ers linebacker, and that dude, like, just ruined it. He absolutely ruined it. I don't blame him for the loss. It's way more than that. But gosh, man. Right here, 49ers minor. Bowman, the pick of the stick made me cry, he says. Do you have those legendary plays? That's part of it. Willis, check, 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 check. Legendary plays. Bowman, check, 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 check. You know, Fred Warner. Yeah, he's got a lot of them. But Dre Greenlaw, you look at those picks. You don't win the NFC divisional round game without Dre Greenlaw. You got Dre Greenlaw stop against the freaking Seahawks on the 1-inch line. You got Dre Greenlaw's pick in overtime against, oh my gosh, Dre Greenlaw has so many highlights plays. Like, y'all get me fired up. I get chill bumps over here. I got chill bumps. All right. We're okay. we'll see. I'm going through some more. I want to give everybody some chance. The bell curve. Thank you. Greg, come through. That is the Navarro Bowman career trajectory, the bell curve, because it didn't start off elite, got to the best ever, in my opinion. And then, after the injuries and then the release and then, you know, just kind of dragging his career out, didn't end at the high level. The bell curve. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate you, man. Y'all keeping me. Yeah. Y'all keep me in line. I appreciate that. Right here, a 49er minded. Warner is big in person. I met both him and Willis. Yeah, he's big dude, man. he's huge. Let's see here. So who is above Fred Warner in your opinion? I don't think she's talking to me there. Nobody's above Fred Warner right now. Nobody is. Right here, Vince. Fred Warner did not throw away a shot in the linebacker world turned upside down. Oh, there we go. That was a double Alexander Hamilton reference. That's what's up, man. Salute you. Alexander Hamilton. Y'all don't want me to sing. It's terrible. Dre, amazing number two. Yeah, Dre Greenlaw is great. Yeah, he's up there. So this is fun. I just absolutely love this. And yeah, Swaggy J says, you know, shows how underrated Dre Greenlaw is. You talk about his highlights. I mean, that dude ruined the Eagles. He ruined the Eagles season. His highlights are even off the field. Oh, I freaking love Dre Greenlaw. Gosh, he's so great, man. Yeah, I don't know. I will see this. There's no wrong answers. You know, we went off the tangent on linebackers. I don't know how we got there, but I love it because we have the most rich linebacker tradition in the history of the NFL. I don't think there's anybody else that's close to us. I really, really don't. I mean, there are just elite, elite, elite linebackers peppered throughout the 49ers history. Like guys like Bill Romanowski, you know, played with us for like, what, 6 years? You know what I mean? Like, he's not even an honorable mention. He's great. He was awesome. And dirty. But, like, we have so many. Chris Borland, you know what I mean? Like, we've got guys. Kenton Norton. And I know I'm leaving out a lot of these old, you know, the old hats, which I don't want to do. That's not who I am. That's, like, let me go to my freaking 10-year list. Let me see what other linebackers we have on this 10-year list. Shoot, Dave Wilcox. Are you kidding me? Freaking awesome. Keena Turner, outside linebacker, corner, played all that stuff. Matt Hazeltine, played 14 years. And again, I don't know a lot of these guys, but these are guys. Frank Noonley. Like, I hope there's somebody listening to this podcast that's just like, yeah. Jeff Olbrich, who started this damn conversation. let's see here. I mean, that there's names. Names on names on names. I freaking love it. Taquio Spikes. I freaking love Taquio, man. No neck Taquio out of Auburn, right? Oh, we are spoiled rotten. If Dre Greenlaw, this might be a little bit of a stretch. Dre Greenlaw would be maybe the best linebacker on three or four teams in the NFL in the history of their organization. The history of their organization. That's how good we are. Oh, Clarzard, what's up? I love Patrick Willis, but he's all nostalgia. Warner is the GOAT for us. I don't think he is yet, in my opinion. I have no problem with that being your opinion. You could definitely defend that. I think if he plays three more years, that was kind of the thing. If Warner plays three more years at this level, it's not even close. I think if Warner plays one or two more years at this level, I think that will do it. Kerry Plummer is hit on Thurman Thomas. There we go. Lee Woodall. Ah, yes. Ah, I freaking love it, man. You guys are the best. And let's end this show with this question, focusing on the now. Logan, I really appreciate you, man. It says, Chapman, do you think D Winters or Jalen Graham have that same potential to be good to great linebackers? You know, again, they're prototypes. Jalen Graham and D Winters are mini-me's, not size-wise. That's what I'm saying at all. They are literally the same height, weight, size, testing ability as Warner and Greenlaw. They're the same. Jalen Graham, converted safety over, right? Like, that's what he was. Literally the same workouts, all that stuff. Now, he's not as quite the athlete, and he went super late and whatever else, like, dumbed down a little bit or watered down a little bit would be a better way. Not saying he's dumb. That's all I'm saying. Just the talent level's watered down. And the same thing with D Winters. D Winters, I mean, him and Dre Greenlaw are the same freaking human. You put them next to each other, not that they look alike, but they're built the same. They have the same speed. D Winters faster. So could they? The consistency is their issue. We saw last year with both rookie linebackers the splash plays in the preseason and training camp. It was there. The problem is consistency is not there. Now, if you put Jalen Graham and you put D Winters in a DeLorean, you hit your 88 miles an hour and you go back to 2018, 2019, and you put them in Fred shoes and Dre Greenlaw shoes and they got to learn on the fly, that's a different story. That's not where we are now. You got to take those old hats game away. You got to take their job. I don't see it happening. In fact, I don't even think both are making this roster for the final 53. So that's where I'm at. Man, this was fun. I really hope y'all enjoyed this. I really hope I'm not the only one that's just like an old man shouting at the sun or the clouds like, ah, this is a Simpsons reference. You guys are awesome. This is fun. You are the best. Remember, Thursday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We got our Zoom hangout. So go sign up, the40hoursrush.com. Until next time, you are the best. Ah, that was fun. Stay strong, faithful.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.